Hey folks, real quick, I'm really busy this week with getting the Goblin's Heist open. So obviously I don't have a podcast, but I do have a podcast. I did do a little coverage from the Collective Con, a first year con at Jacksonville, Florida. And luckily enough, I was able to do a panel with the amazing, talented Larry Watts, artist of Army of Darkness, Robin Hood for Zenoscope, Metal Locust for Cosmic Times, stuff like that. A good friend of mine, we always talk and everything. We got to do a panel together, and actually it was pretty good. We got to get some good questions and everything else. I think the audio is pretty good. It's a little wonky there, here and there. And I totally messed up on the intro and didn't record the intro, which would have been a lot better. So this is me and Larry Watts, pretty much, you know, talking about indie comics and the whole craft about it. So hopefully you guys can enjoy and have fun and everything. So, like, you know, you have something to listen to this week. I'll probably be doing more podcasting from the shop this week, and maybe do a couple of reactions on Saturday, our grand opening. And if you want to hear more about the comic shop and everything that's going on there, you can always find it at thegoblinsheist.com. And you can also find us on Facebook under The Goblin's Heist. And anything else, you guys, you know, just let me know. Hit me up. Tell me what's going on. As always, I'm here. And so after this, on to the show. Later.
There's so many artists looking for writers right now.
What websites would be good places to start?
LinkedIn isn't really the worst. There's a few groups on LinkedIn that you can find. There's actually a group on LinkedIn called Writers Looking for Artists. And that occasionally I'll even go there to see if there's a cool pitch like happening. Facebook isn't bad. Twitter's great.
I think it all depends on how you're working, you know? If you're working it, you really look through it, talk to people. It's really, it's never cut and dry. A lot of times it's going back and forth, talking to somebody, looking at their rep. Like one thing you touched on, the community thing, that's a huge thing. Because a lot of us, we all know each other. You know, I know Larry through people, he knows the same people we need to talk about. And you know, sometimes what will happen is that if your rep is good, that's how you get it work a lot of times. If, you know, hey, they're solid, they come back, they do the deadlines, they're on board, they're talented. Besides the, oh, you're talented and you can do stuff, is that, oh, you know, that's cool. But I'm surprised with the LinkedIn. I was like, really? I find it like, I just see like work anniversary.
It's
like
a pretty useless site, but there's a few groups there that I've actually, you know, seen decent pitches and people get work. But there's a website, Mark Millar has a great website that has a really active creator community as well. Millar World TV. I actually met, I got my first job from the forums there, just talking to someone else on the forums, and it turns out they're from Florida, and I ran into them at MegaCon, but for some reason, the show was so busy, we didn't make the connection there, but literally like a couple months later on the forum, you know, we connected there, and from there came my first six issues that I worked on. But I think that's a good site to check out. The creator community on that site, especially if you go back, I doubt you will, But if you go back and look at some of the people that are active on those forums, like Declan Shavley used to be active on that site, and he's doing Thunderbolts now at Marvel. David LaFuente, he was one of the active users at the time. He's huge now. There's a lot of the community, like there's a lot of people from that site that are still active, but very active, actually being published as well. So I mean, I checked that site out. They're also like they always run like monthly contests, and
yeah,
Millar actually puts out like a monthly magazine too, where he features new talent. So I think that'd be a good place to go for it, and then just whatever you actually use, because I mean, Tumblr is great for some people. So whatever social media platform you're comfortable with, just start looking around. It's not hard to find.
Yeah, I would even go like, and I'm even learning something because I totally forgot about Millar. I have an account, I just haven't gone back. It's hard for me to stick to forums myself.
Yeah,
you know, like they'd be there. Like there's guys that are there every day, like click.
Yeah,
you know. But there's some places like DeviantArt still was pretty good. You know how it is. I mean, there's a lot of shysters and stuff on the internet, and everybody has like a golden pitch, and I'm gonna take you to the top kind of guy, and you're gonna be like, oh, whatever. But you know, it's still pretty good about certainly for finding artists and projects. I also like going to Digital Webbing. Digitalwebbing.com is a good forum. They actually have a help wanted kind of section, and one is collaboration, and the other one is actually paid work. And you'll be surprised. Like I've gotten short stories and cover illustration work from that myself, just perusing the site. And like he says, and sometimes you like hit up and I'm like, I don't hear anything for like a week and a half, and I'm like, they didn't like my stuff, I'll go on. Then like a month later, like, hey, can you do this page? Like,
well, how many people in this room are writers? And then what about artists?
Writers talk to the artists, artists talk to the writers. Go make comics.
Yeah, you guys could
problem solved.
But yeah, I think Digital Webbing is really good, actually. I've picked a few gigs up from there, but also, you know, the Pencil Jack, have you been there?
Yeah.
Pencil Jack.com, I believe. They have a bulletin board site where it's people posting, you know, I'm looking for a writer, I'm looking for an artist.
And it's also a good place to post work and get critiques.
Yeah, Top Cow has a pretty good forum site as well. But yeah, definitely Digital Webbing and Pencil Jack. They've been sort of like staples, you know, if you're a freelancer. There's another site called Panels and Pixels, but the interface is pretty clunky. But there's been a lot of work, you know, from there as well. It's just a super old site.
Yeah, it's like an old V-Bulletin, like, coding. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does anybody else have any questions?
So you mentioned something about being careful of people trying to give you a lot first, what they can give you. What kind of pitfalls should you?
Well, I mean, mostly what I've seen the most that happens is that a lot of people promise you the world and everything with it, and Lamborghini bumper cars and, you know, ridiculousness. And then you do all this work, you go out there, and they don't even deliver a quarter of that. And then people are disappointed, and they don't like the industry. They give bad name to other small press. That's one of the things I hate the most, because then I come along and I talk to an artist, and I'll be truthful with people. I'll tell people, you know, look, dude, my budget is crap. You know, I can't pay you too much, but I can't give you money, but I'll give you glory. You know, I do cons across the country. So I'll do C2E2, I do, you know, New York Comic Con, all these cons. So I'll be like, you know, come sit with us, come hang out with us. You know, I'll get your names out there. You know, my publisher, John, he knows a lot of people in the industry, and he's gotten other artist gigs at Valiant, at Dynamite, at even Marvel, you know, by just pushing and talking to people he knows. I mean, in that case, that's the best way to get out there, and that's the reason I tell people, you know, like, the best business card in the world is a comic book. If you're a writer or artist, if you can get a comic book done, even if it's a little one-shot, and that's something you can go up to an editor and say, hey, here you go. Like, this it proves that you can make one, that you know the process of it, and that you're not lost on it. But going back to your original question, it's just, you know, a lot of, if it sounds too good to be true, it's 90% most likely. You know, I've seen people where they tell me, they're like, oh yeah, this guy's helping me out. He's like this publisher. And I'm like, oh, cool. So like, what are you doing? They're like, oh, I'm doing these 18 pages for a book, and he's going to pay me $100 a page. And I'm like, wow, dude, that's incredible. Awesome. I'm so happy for you. And then 2 months later, they're like, no, the guy's reneging on it. He didn't want to pay this and blah, blah, blah. And then they'll go to a con and they have to buy their own badge. Like, they got invited to go to the convention. That they buy their own badge, they have to buy this, they buy... And you just have to be honest. Like, it's like any relationship. You have to be honest with each other and say what your expectations are. And as long as you're cool, that's fine. But a lot of times, there's just so many people that come in here, it's like, oh, we're going to do this, it's going to be huge. Don't believe the hype. You know, get the work done first, and then hype it up.
Pretty much exactly what he said. I mean, I could be like a little bit... Like, for instance, my first... job that someone offered me the world for. It's called a back-end deal. And I let everyone know here, back-end deals are exactly what they are. It's not a lie at all. Back-end deal, for instance, is like, you do the work, and we'll share the profit. And for a newcomer, you're like, sounds great, we're going to be rich. But then the reality of it is, you do a lot of work, and then after printing costs, and marketing, and advertising, and whatever other creative accounting a publisher or a writer wants to do, you could end up not making anything. So the first book I worked on, spent 6 months on it, and I didn't see a check for that book till the following summer, and it was for $40. So that was like, that's a pretty big learning experience. Like, at that point, I'd already kind of moved on, and no one lied to me about what I was signing. I read the contract. However, you know, that's just one of those things. You have to, you know, understand what you're getting into. A lot of people want to get into the industry, and they don't quite understand how much work it's going to be. And it's a lot of work, and you're going to do a lot of free work, you know. You'll probably get ripped off a few times. But eventually, if you do good work, you'll find other good creators, you know, gravitate towards each other. And something should come of that, you know. I mean, I'm a firm believer, if you work hard and you do your best work, something good will happen, you know, for you. So,
yeah, and I will even say that doesn't end, like, even with a big company. Like, I mean, I'm doing sketch cards for, well, unnamed company, but they're very big. And they pay garbage. They pay, like, $2 a card. You know what I mean? It's not worth it. But I'm doing it because the exposure, and I get to say, I'm a so-and-so artist because I worked on this property, and it's good for my name. And so, okay, there's a trade in something there. You know, you're gaining something for doing it. So, you know, that's I'm willing to do it. But I think my first gig was back in October. I finished it. Everything was awesome. Everything got approved. They're like, oh, we've never seen everything, but he got everything approved. I'm like, oh, cool. Supposed to get like a check in August, and it's gonna be like pittance. But you know, I get to at least on my Twitter account be like, "Oh, I'm this guy because I did this." You know, so like I said, you know, sometimes you have to take the good with the bad, and just make it work for you. Like, no matter what it is they give you, you have to make it work for you. You know. Any other questions? Anybody? Viewer.
So, have you ever self-published?
Yeah, well, that's what my books are.
Right.
Yeah, it's all self-published.
What goes into self-publishing in terms of, I guess, how you
do it? Well, one of the things that happened for many years, like, we were pushing our own books out and everything, and we were doing conventions, and we were doing this, and we were doing that. And so when we first, you know, I was doing Zombie Years back in 2008, 2007 or something like that. I met John and the rest of the guys, and we formed Creature soon afterwards. He dug the book, and he's like, hey, let's get it printed. And I'm like, what? Like, I never even thought of that. And we went through a very long, you know, experimental process with the book of, like, getting it printed and who to print it with. We used Kablam first, and then we found other printers that were 10 times cheaper and better service. And so we printed, you know, like 50 copies of the first issue and 50 copies of another issue. We got a table at, like, Miami Supercon, or no, actually MegaCon, or one of those was, like, our first con. We got a table, we went over there with our books, put them on there, and sold them, you know? And just try to make your money back.
What year was that?
That has to be, like, 08.
08?
08.
I feel like I met you, like, the first show that you were, like, selling your book.
08, 07. I want to, well, no, maybe later. It might be 09. It might be 09.
It was 2010. That was the first year I met you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, you know, and that's, you know, and that was like, again, talking to publishers, talking to people, trying to get the, you know, you figure out the right price, you know, you have to look at your unit, price per unit, how much is it going to cost you to ship it, how much is it, and you know, your whole thing in the beginning is just to make enough money to cover your printing costs and maybe your table. Like, it used to be, if like, you made table, like, woo, like, beers are on me tonight. Like, you know, we can all have one beer and we put 12 straws, and, you know, that kind of thing. But it was a big deal. And now, I mean, now we're distributed by Diamond and everything else, and we're still in that kind of phase. Like, we're still, like, we sold out of our first copy of Ravenous, and we're like, yay, that's awesome. But, you know, nobody's, you know, again, nobody's playing Lamborghini bumper cars. You know, like, we're not, you know, no one's taking a Sikorsky helicopter to work. No one's like, you know, we still have to do a lot of times our own day jobs and everything that we're doing. But the whole hope is that once people really realize and dig your product, and you get that fandom, you get that base that follows you and likes your work, everything else will come into play, you know. It's a lot of hustling, man. It's a lot of hustling. You don't, well, for me, I always say, and you're more interesting because you're a father.
Yeah.
So I always admire anytime, like even within our studio, the parents in our group, I'm like, how do you do it? Because I'm like, you know, single guy with no kids, so I don't have to worry. But I don't have a life. Like, I don't, like, I say that not like, oh, boo-hoo. Like, I say that like a pride. Like, I don't, people are like, hey, have you seen? No, I haven't really seen a real program in the last couple of years. Like, I haven't played video, I love video games. You know, some of my best friends work for IGN and Blizzard. They'll tell me, like, hey, dude, you want code? You want a free game? No, because if I have that in my house, I'm not going to be producing work, you know? So I give that up. I don't have that, you know? And then luckily, my girlfriend's an artist, so we get along really well doing that. So, you know, that helps. But, yeah, it's a lot of dedication to this. It's just hours and hours. And, you know, doing the 40 hours a week, and you get home, and, yeah, maybe you'll have some dinner together, but then in the end I'll be like, I'm going to go draw this. She's like, I'm going to go work on a painting. All right, see you later, you know? And that's how it is.
I just grind, like, all day. I have a day job still. I run a screen printing company. I own one. But I go there every day from 9 to 5. To get my lunch, to do my breakdowns, and then after work, I do dinner with my family, and put my son to bed and stuff, and as soon as my son goes to bed, my wife's a cake decorator, so she gets up at like 5, 4 o'clock in the morning anyways, so she goes to bed really early. As soon as she goes to bed, and then until I pass out, I'm just drawing, and sometimes she's getting up for work, and I'm going to bed, and I wake up every day back at 7 o'clock and do it again. But I'm just kind of like wired for that thing. I mean, I draw the car. I draw in between assignments at my day job. You know, I literally spend most of my day drawing, but I did have to quit video games like cold turkey 2.5 years ago. It was one of the hardest things I ever had to do.
Yeah, I'm like a recovering alcoholic. I'm like, you know, March 10th, 2010 was my last day of World of Warcraft.
And I haven't stopped buying them, though. Like, I literally haven't played. I bought all the expansions for StarCraft. I still haven't installed them. I have all the Batman games, haven't played them. I keep thinking, like, whenever I get a break in my schedule, I'm going to catch up and play these games. So I haven't even accepted the fact that I can't play them anymore. I've got them all, like, shrink-wrapped still. I'm like, I'm going to do this, but you have to find the time somehow. But if you really want to do it, you know, like I said, if you really want to do it, just start doing it. Work hard. Hopefully it'll pan out, you know.
It's its own reward, too, though. I will tell you that. Like, it's one of those things that I'm very prideful about that. Like,
it was the coolest feeling in the world when I finally got to go to, like, my local comic shop, and they actually had one of my books on the shelf, and I didn't ask them to order it. Like,
or I didn't place it there.
They don't even know who I am. Like, I just went in, and I was like, I did the dorky thing, too, where I was like, I'm going to buy a copy of my own book, you know, or whatever. You know, and it was funny that they didn't even put two and two together. I'm like, you know, handing them my credit card. I'm like, that's my name on the book, you know. But, you know, like, it was so awesome for me to see that, and that, you know, that was worth the years of, like, either getting ripped off or whatever, because, I mean, you know, I never thought that I could get to do that. I grew up not knowing anyone that works in the industry. That's why I was saying, like, get to know people that work in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, because before that, I was an art director for an ad agency by default, because that was, like, where most of my interests, like, you know, converged. However, it wasn't what I wanted to do. I just didn't know you could actually make a living or a career doing comic books until I met people that did that, and I just, you know, started putting those things together. But if you have no idea, like, if you're not around that type of thing, it's going to be that much harder to even, like I said, ask these kind of questions to, like, you know, bond.
Yeah, I mean, I just took this out. I always have one of these in my back pocket, and I constantly... You and me. But this is like, you know, and I'm running the company out of this. Like, this and my iPhone is what I run the company with 90% of the time. And it's not the most efficient thing. But at least, you know, I'll go through my day doing whatever I'm doing. I'm opening a comic book shop now in Miami. So I'm running that all day. I'm going to run around. Yeah, I'm living the dream. The other day I was putting, like, Spider-Man's in order and eating a chalupa from Taco Bell. And I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. This is what I wanted. But, you know, doing, you know, when you go about it, it's its own reward. Like, the comic shop is another reward for myself. I was an art director for a cigar company for many years. I was an art archivist for a private art collection for many years. They were great jobs. I dug it. They weren't, at least, boring. But, like, I hate graphic design. I hate advertisement. My girl works in advertising still. And she comes home and she's just like, I can't stand. And you're like, this is why I quit. I make half of what you make, but I quit because of that. Because I just didn't, you know, your choice in lifestyle and what you're going to be happy in is everything. But it's a constant. It's just a constant. And you have to think about that next step and the next step. And sometimes just doing that page, getting a page done, getting another page done. And don't wait for perfection, you know. Everybody wants this perfect product. Your first book's going to suck. I'm going to tell you that right now. No matter what you do. Your first book's gonna, that's all of you, all of you. Your first book's gonna suck, because my first book sucked, Stan Lee's first book sucked, all their first books sucked. It's supposed to happen. Success is made of many, like, mistakes. So just, it's okay to, like, suck on occasion. The thing is, it's better to...
It's better to suck than not do it.
Yeah, my perfect, you know, my piece of crap is better than your perfect nothing. So if you can get that to that point, you know, it'll help, you know, and it's hard. It's hard. I mean, while other people, again, are like, oh, I'm going to do this, or I just saw a season of blah, 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 you know, and I'm like, I don't know what that is anymore, you know. I hope to catch up on Breaking Bad one day, you know. Yeah, so I'm like, I don't know how that is. So it's a sacrifice, but it's rewarding. Like he says, you know, you go to a con and your comic book's up, I have my banner, I have the artwork up. I go to cons like at Chicago or New York, and there are people that come back and like, oh, I read the first issue, I'm waiting for the second issue, I want this. Like, you know, I got my first really pissed off fan once, you know, and that was already funny because he comes and goes, what do you mean Tommy 3's not done? Bro, when you all your friend, I'm like, dude, we're re-soliciting and this and that. No, man, but it's just, and at the end it's like, bro, I just love the story so much. Like, I just want to see the third issue. I'm like, oh, cool, alright, that's awesome. That don't hurt me, but that's awesome. You know? It's a balancing act. It's a balancing act, you know? But it's super rewarding. It's super fun. And for me, I do comics for myself, but also for my friends. Like, if my friends laugh and they dig it, then I'm like, alright, cool. You know, that's like the as much audience as I do it for.
I think if you're working in comics, you know, you will find people that you, I mean, you have common interests with everyone here. It'd be really hard not to make friends in the comic industry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the other great things about working in this industry is you get to work with people that you enjoy. You form these friendships. And like I said, he who does things for his friends, but also, like, I get to work with my friends. And it's, you know, way better than any other, like, habits I've ever had, you know, or whatever. Like, video games, fun, you know, whatever the else I used to do to waste my time, like, this is a very rewarding field. You know, maybe not necessarily the most financial rewarding field when you're starting off, you know, but eventually, you know, you should hit a point to do something, especially with, like, web comics now. I mean, you can monetize your site. You don't even have to publish. You could just publish your webcomic and make money off advertising. If I was a writer starting out, the first thing I'd do is I'd start doing a webcomic tomorrow. You know, I'd even draw it myself if I had to, because
I mean, at the end of the day, what people are looking for from a writer is, a good story.
Yeah, look at the oatmeal. That's like the most basic drawing. I mean, it's great cartooning. It's awesome cartooning. The guy knows what he's doing. But it's stick figures, practically. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's out there like that. XKCD.
Cyanide
and happiness.
For sure. That's like one of the most popular and financially profitable series, regardless of what format it's on.
Yep.
Dude, those are stick figures. There's no reason to not do it, especially nowadays. There's no reason not to put your foot in the pool or whatever. There's never been a better time in terms of it won't cost you a lot to get into it. Put your stuff out there. You have the whole world to see it. All you have to do is shout it loud enough or whatever. But yeah, there's no reason to. There's nothing stopping you from putting out something now.
Yeah.
Just get it done. Like I said, if it sucks, who cares? Do the next one better.
Do the next one, yeah. It's going to happen, too. Like, 3 or 4 years, I look at the first issues of, like, Zombie Years, and I cringe. Because I'll look at them like, oh, look how I drew that arm. Look at that hand. It's like, I draw such better hands now. But I'm like, it's going to go to publishing. All right.
Print another copy.
And, You did, 22 issues of Robin Hood?
No. 16 or 17.
Oh, okay. Just 16 or 17. Okay, forget it. I thought it was a big deal. What are you talking about? That's amazing.
Thanks, man. Yeah, the first issue I did.
And I did 10, and that's like 2 a year. You were doing monthly, right?
Yeah, so like the last 2.5 years, I've done like almost a book a month. But even if I go back and look at like stuff I did like 3 months ago, I'm like, So, I mean, you're always going to feel that way no matter what. Like, as crappy as you feel about your stuff now, 10 years from now, you're going to feel that way too. And that just means that you want to keep pushing and getting better. If you ever reach a point where you're like, I'm really good, you'll probably hit like a plateau, and that's not a good place to be. Like, you want to always be the most critical person of your artwork. I mean, it is nice, or you should at least find the small victories for yourself, because it's a long road, like, you can take stock in yourself, or, pat yourself on the back, whatever, but if you hit a point where you're, like, satisfied with your skill level, that insecurity you're feeling now about your stuff, it's not going to go away. It's just, it's the whole need to get better, and that's a human condition. Do it, man. Plus, I always think of it like this, like, that page was that page. The next page is my next opportunity to do a better job. Don't sit there and stew on something forever. Like you said, don't go through the perfect thing. Like, do the best you can right now. Try harder next time. Otherwise, you'll be sitting there doing the same thing forever. Get that first story written and done, so people can read it. Like, nothing is worse than an unfinished story or an unfinished page. I'd rather see a really bad finished page than like a great half drawing. Any day.
Yeah, I had a guy today, and he's like has a 1600 page saga in his head that he's just like, oh my god, expanse 5 generations, and I'm like, dude, you'll never get that done, and second, do 8 pages. And get me interested in 8 pages. Think of it like a trailer. Think of it like the Star Wars trailer or anything else. Get me interested in 8 pages. If you can get me interested in your world or your story, what you're doing in 8 pages, then you have something to go on. And from there, expand. You got 8 pages? Now do 16. Now do 24. Now you have a comic.
That's actually really good advice. Don't do what I did where I started off with a big project first. Because you don't really know what you're capable of either. Like, you're an artist starting off now, start small, 3 pages, 4 pages, 8 pages. Don't try to a whole issue, maybe it might be great. Don't sign on for like 5 issues with some like fledgling writer you met. Like, start small, figure out like how long it takes you to do a page, because then you can build off of that. Don't jump into the deep end like right away. Like I said, my first thing was a 6-month commitment, and like around the 3-month mark, I was like, what did I do? What do I got myself into, Because right around then, too, is when I figured out, like, I'm not going to get paid for another year. start small. Figure out what you want to do.
Zombie Year started off as an 8-page short for an anthology. and they wanted to do a webcomic anthology and everybody do a thing, and I was like, alright, cool, I'll do 8 pages. Did 8 pages, the anthology fell apart, the editor couldn't get enough material, and I was just left there with 8 pages, and I said, well, I kind of wrote an ending, what if this wasn't the ending? And I kept going. And Tommy just came from me and my publisher John driving our cars, going back and forth to cons, coming up with stories in the car. And we're like, what if the rabbit's a serial killer? And then that's it. And you know, and since then, it's just the fun of making it. Tommy's probably my comic that's the funnest for me to draw. You know, it's just working on it and working on it, working on it, working on it, working on it, and just planning it. And you're planning ahead. Like, I have like the next year planned out already. Like, I have like, I know like this time I'm gonna be able to finish this and this, and then I'm gonna finish this, and then I gotta move on. And you're just constantly projecting. Like, if you're planning to do cons, you should be already looking at next year and saying, what am I willing to go to? You know, like, all right, you know, and maybe you don't have to go to like every single thing. Maybe you say, all right, if it's in Florida, MegaCon, SuperCon, and Tampa Bay, those are the three biggest ones. See about doing those. You know, if you I've done this con plan for next year. And again, just showing up and showing up and showing up, that's the best way to do it. You know, after they see your face enough times too. You know, I go back to C2E2 or New York Comic Con and, hey man, what's up? I mean, I got, you know, Mike Richardson, the owner and publisher of Dark Horse. Like, the other day, he was like, when I saw him in New York Comic Con, I was like, hey Juan, what's up? And I'm like, hey. And I turn around to John, like, oh my God, he knows my name. Like, you know, like, you saw that? Like, Neil Adams. Hey, fellas, what's going on? And you're like, oh, hey, Mr. Adams. Stop calling me Mr. Adams. You know, like, and it's cool because I'm like, crap. Like, I would never in a million years think you would know my name or who the hell I am. You know, and that's just because showing up, just being at the cons all the time. They just make connections. Any other questions? Anything? Awesome.
And what happened was, he was saying that I was pretty much bad at, promoting the
comic. We all are. All creatives are horrible at that.
I hate doing that kind of stuff.
We were talking about it. I was just one of those things, like, I just, yeah.
If you're going to do a Kickstarter, I'd find someone that loves to do social media stuff. He did a successful Kickstarter.
Did
right?
Four.
Four successful Kickstarters. But the entire time, he was literally on it, like Facebook, Twitter, everything, constantly promoting the book.
Badgering that
almost to the point where I was like, Jesus, you're gonna stop.
We get it, you have.
But you have to do that. And for someone like me, I'm not, like, I don't enjoy, you know, getting on Facebook or Twitter and be like, me, you know, like, so you need, if you're gonna do a Kickstarter, I'd find someone that enjoys doing that, and it will promote your stuff 24 hours a day. Because otherwise, you know, I've seen a lot of failed Kickstarters, regardless of the quality. And I've seen a lot of successful Kickstarters because they got out there and they made it known.
And they're questionable.
Like, right, yeah.
Yeah, the Kickstarter is like, really? This made how much? And you're...
And I've backed Kickstarters that I never got the product for either. So if you're going to do a Kickstarter, like... please finish the project.
I would say finish the project before you go to Kickstarter. I've run four successful ones. We've, I think, raised over $30,000 combined. I'm about to do my fifth for Tommy. And I know I've worked on at least six others. And I'll tell you the same thing that I keep seeing every time. People are like, you have a product, you want to get it out there, you want to get whatever, have it done. Because when you have a month, like the month before you do your Kickstarter, you gotta get all your material ready. Stuff of how you're gonna promote it, who you're gonna promote it, what are your promotional images, what's your byline, what's your write-up. You know, you can start on the project now and not have to put it up. You can little by little type every day, work on this. Your video has to be not impeccable, but informative and fun and eye-catching. If it's something that's like, meh, you know, if you're not excited in it, they're not gonna be excited about it. And then when the Kickstarter goes off, think of it at the very least like a part-time job, if not almost full-time job. And it's hitting forums. You know, we did one for Ravenous, which is our werewolf book. I went to every forum I could. I went to forums that specialized just in werewolves. You know how many people are furries?
I found out, you know, their money's green, like the one I want, so I don't care. But I mean, I had to, like, you know, and promote and talk to people, because as much as you feel like you're screaming from the rooftops, you're not. And, you know, that's the key to a lot of the Kickstarters. If you can present the idea right and concise and get people excited about it, because I think you don't only want people to give money to your Kickstarter, but then spread the word about your Kickstarter. Because you can talk about it all the time, but if a friend of mine tells me about your Kickstarter, I might be more inclined to check it out and give money to it because they said something, not you. Of course, I'm not going to, you know, if I come in, hey, buy my book, eh, don't care. But if your friend comes in and says, hey, check out this book, you're more likely to get to it. And then after you're done with the Kickstarter, you got to deliver, because that's your reputation is on the line after that.
But be clear about your costs involved with the Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of horror stories involving Kickstarters where they did fund the project, but by the time they got to the end where they're printing the book and shipping it out, they lost money still. Because they didn't understand the costs associated with their Kickstarter. So if you're going to go into it, find someone that's really good with social media that wants to do it and understand, like, your costs involved, because...
Yeah, do your homework. I mean, it happened to be our first Kickstarter. We had a lot of international shippers that bought books from us. That was cool. I had pricing done for all the shipping, and it was awesome. Well, what happened is that because of the EU and everything that was happening in Europe at the time, shipping costs went crazy. So all of a sudden, I went from $22 to ship to Spain to $35 to ship to Spain. So now I'm caught. I'm like, oh, crap, how do I get this? And I can't really go back and ask, can you give me more money? You know, so all of a sudden, I was shipping some stuff at a loss. And then because, like, Greece and Spain, they were having such big problems, every time I ship something there, it wouldn't get there. Even if I sent it by FedEx, it would not get there because no one was working. They had strikes and stuff. So these little things come up, you know, like the pricing and everything else, you know. You really have to dedicate yourself to it. Yeah, it's hugely rewarding and can get a project off the ground. And you have to project for it. Like, I did it for Rez, a book that I wrote, and when we were done, not only did I was able to accomplish and complete everybody on there, on that list, but now I have 1,000+ copies to sell on the side, you know, and I can make money off that to make, you know, the second issue, and I'm sold out, I don't have any anymore. So, you know, work it out so that you always gain more from it, and you're going to gain fans from Kickstarter too. So it's a balancing act, you know.
Hope that answered your question. Anything else?
Any comments on the artist? Yes.
So when it comes to collaboration, how do you work out both workload, who does what, and also finances, who gets paid what?
That, to me, like, it's like any kind of, like, relationship. You know, you got to talk it out. You got to, like, really...
They're all different.
You know, it's all different. You know, what are people doing? We know people that are writer artists and... Some people that are like, you know, the writer is going to do the promo. They're going to be the promo guy. They're going to be out there talking about it. They're the ones getting booths. You know, it depends on what you're doing. As an artist, sometimes you're doing the hardest kind of work because you're sitting there drawing the whole time. The writer already wrote the script. He's done. Now he might be out there promoting for you, buying ad space, buying stuff, putting everything together. It really does come down to what you agree to. You know, what's fair and not fair, that's up to you. You know, how much work are you putting into it?
I think the big thing is being clear about what you expect from each other. Because any partnership, any collaboration, your roles can vary, especially on the indie level. If you are working on the indie level as an artist, you're probably also going to shows to promote the book. You're promoting your collaborators as well. But in general, when you do start working, if you are very clear about what you expect from each other, that goes a lot further than just, like, you know, winging it, because by the time you reach the end of your project, you don't want, like, a bitter or resentful collaborator, you know, who feels like they're either undervalued or didn't understand what they're getting into. So, I mean, a lot of times, like, even when you're doing indie stuff, get a basic contract worked out, you know, and to talk to them, figure out what if they want. Maybe they want a page rate and they don't want a percentage of the ownership. A lot of times, indie stuff, the way it usually works out is writer gets 50%, artist gets 50% of the rights or whatever. So if you get lucky and you sell a movie or, you know, movie rights or gets licensed for marketing or merchandise stuff, you guys split whatever money comes in. However, there's also a colorist, a letterer, you know, maybe an editor as well. So what do you, you start taking bits and pieces from everyone's percentage and doling it out. You know, it gets tricky, so you need to just get all that. I would suggest anything you do, get it all in writing, because that way, for instance, like, you know, 3 years later, you still have that piece of paper that tells you, like, what you can and can't do.
Yeah.
One of the first books I worked on, I found out that they were publishing it, you know, without my written consent, and they, you know, published X amount of copies. But, you know, the only good thing that came out of the situation was I had a contract that said I had to approve anything that gets published. So I just said, hey, you know, you guys broke the contract. And there's no hard feelings. I mean, I'm sure they were irritated about it, but this wasn't one of those things where I'd be like, I feel like, you know, that's wrong or whatever. This is what we agreed on. And that way you can kind of avoid any sort of, like, butthurtness about anything. Mm-hmm. You know, you can just...
Yeah, avoid butthurtness.
Yeah. At all costs.
Yeah. I mean, the paper talks. Paper talks more than anything. So, and if anybody gets, like, offended because you say, hey, you know, can we put this in writing? Can we, dude, then don't do business with them. Because in business, you got to do everything in writing. It's for good for you and good for them.
Yeah.
And as long as you have everything clear, you're not going to get into a situation where you're like, oh, I thought this, I thought that. You know, as far as, like, again, going back to sometimes, like, when you have those 50-50 split, like, I know some people that do it, you know, they're fronting costs for printing, they're fronting costs for cons. So sometimes that 50-50 split comes after you get profits. So sometimes they're like, hey, you know, can we cover the cost of all the money I put in for, you know, getting the book out there, and then we'll split it. And as long as you agree upon it, that's what a lot of people do. Especially if somebody's throwing down $2,000 in between printing and another grand in just promoting, you know. I mean, if they're going to throw $3,000 into it, it's like, all right, you know, let's wait and see, you know. And that's not bad either.
I would say, like, in general, as, like, a new writer, the best thing probably for just to start off is do a little project and actually pay the artist. And keep all the rights to yourself. Just because I found a lot of artists don't actually finish their stuff if you're not paying them. So, I mean, if you just want to get your stuff done, just give them a, you know, a meager page rate or something that they're comfortable with. I mean, I've seen stuff, like, on digital webbing for, you know, I've seen people work for, I'm not suggesting it, it's definitely, you know, I've seen people work for $15 a page, I've seen people work for $10 a page, I've seen people work for free, you know, I work for free, but even offering them that $10 or $15 or anything, whatever you can do, and having, like, the things that you expect from them up front, you'll probably get your project done as opposed to, you know, not paying them. You'd be like, oh, just finish it whenever you've got time. I mean, pay them, you know. Pay the artists whatever you can afford. Do small projects so you can actually fund them yourself. And once you have a nice little portfolio of stuff that you've done that you can show publishers, I mean, that actually, I mean, because when he said the best business card's a comic book, the fact that someone can finish a book is a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have no idea how many projects can never get finished, like, never get off the ground whatsoever. They're great ideas that never happen, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like runners. You can be a really fast runner, but sometimes you need that marathon guy, and the guy that can really sit there. And as a writer, one advice I would tell you, because I've done it on both sides, as a writer and as an artist, dude, get people excited about your book. If the artist isn't excited about doing it, oh man, they're going to drag their feet so bad. But you'd be like, you know, all right, here's a space battle. There's a badass space battle. Like, there's just explosion. They're like, oh, okay, cool, yeah. Then we're gonna, and a lot of it's collaboration, too. Like, you might come in and say, well, you know, we'll just do a little panel like this. And they'll say, well, what if I did this, or we inserted it, or instead of cut into the page? And you'll be like, oh, wow, cool. That's a better way of doing it. I didn't think about that. So, you know, be willing and able for that collaboration. Because then they feel that they're part of it, and if they can put their imagination, their creative juices in it, they're going to be that much better. You know, if it feels like whoosh, drop, you know, they're just going to be like, nah, I don't want them. Here's 8 pages and they're going to suck, you know. And as for artists, I mean, I would say do your best work at all the time, because you never know who's going to see it. Somebody's going to see it and they might make a judgment call and be like, I like this guy, give me his name. Or they might look at it and be like, I don't like him. You can't draw a straight line with a ruler. I don't want to work with that guy. So it just depends on what you're doing.
Cool.
Anything else, or?
So I was curious, you're talking about getting into writing and making an agreement. I imagine for you, you might have already like stuff that you can send to a lawyer to make sure that you cover the office, or is it enough just to say, you know, you're going to do this, we're going to do that, so we're going to pick up the
Yeah, I mean,
I've
you know.
Seen a whole variety of different types of contracts, you know. I've seen it where it's just a couple sentences on a page. I've had contracts that are over 20 pages long, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, the 20-page long one was just like a lot of rhetoric, but the, you know, the baselines were still there. The single-page contracts were just, like you said, the things that you expect from them, you know, like written permission to print, you know, shared profits, whatever you agree on. As long as it's clear and signed and it's notarized, that is an official document.
Yeah, that's something that you can use to argue. And it doesn't mean it's going to stop people from being scumbags. I mean, by a far shot. It's amazing like how people can still be scumbags no matter what. I think it's just security. It's insurance for stuff, you know? I've had agreements. I have agreements on our website just to submit to us because I just don't want to get... I have not had that problem, but I've known people that have had problems because they submit a story. And, you know, I have a story about a guy, and he doesn't know his father, and he finds out he's a famous warrior, and he finds his sword, and he's trained by this guy, and I'm like, that's Star Wars. That's Star Wars. Like, stop talking in Star Wars. And, you know, you just don't want to have a situation that's like that. You know, I had one guy claim, like, oh, I had the idea for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles back in 1984, and then it came out, and then I was like, well... Too bad for you, bro. Like, you didn't get it out. That's what you're supposed to do. So I just, you know, it's just to cover, you know, bases, just because I don't want a headache. I want to be able to deal with somebody clearly. And like I always say, it's just be honest. And I would say that too, like for writers and artists, if you have a deadline or something like that, like I've had, you know, we make a joke of it because like I know other editors and other companies and we'll be talking and it's like, oh yeah, this guy didn't turn in these pages. He couldn't, you know, I'm like, what, his computer? Did his computer have problems? It's like, no, he had family problems. Oh, that's a thing. We always hear all the excuses, you know?
Come on.
But at least, you know, I know.
I have a big family.
My second uncle's senior, whatever. But, you know, as long as you're honest about it. I mean, I've had people that say, hey, look, I can't work on it because I'm taking extra shifts because my car broke down and I have to replace the transmission and I got to do it. Dude, it's okay. As long as you're honest with me, like, I'd rather have a bad truth than a good lie, and just, you know, just tell me, and I know what to expect, because this industry runs on deadlines. So if, like, I'm expecting something a month from now, and you can't deliver it, let me know. I will plan around it. I will do something else. I'll find somebody to fill in.
Super solid advice, I would say. I've been on the end where, you know, I've been late, and I found through... few times that it's happened that being honest with my editor was always the best route to go, and like getting ahead of it. For instance, like if you're an artist, you know, like 2 weeks, you know, 3 weeks, like you know, a week in, you know, 2 weeks in, that you are not hitting your benchmarks because you only have X amount of time to do the book, and if you've taken up 30% of your time and you only have 15% of the book done, you're running behind, you know. And at that point, that's the point where you need to be honest with everyone involved, because they'll make whatever arrangements they need to, you know, but waiting till the last minute, which I have done as well early on, was the absolute worst thing I could have done. You know, because you get hired for a book, and you're really excited. You don't want to let anyone down, but, you know, at the end of the day... No one's dying, you know, like, the company isn't going to fold because you didn't get your book done on time, but your relationship with your editor, or your writer, or whatever, if they feel like they can't trust you, or if they feel like, you know, I think that'll go a lot further. Even if, for instance, if you are behind, you tell them, and let them know, they'll be like, well, these people let us know, you know, like, they say they need 3 things to make it in the industry, it's easy to work with, or fast, or great. Like, you know, extremely talented, and I've seen people who are barely talented, but they're easy to work with and on time, you know, and I've seen people who are easy to work with and great, but they're slow as whatever, but I mean, but you can't be, you know, just fast, but horrible to work with and not talented, you know, you can't be, you know, any combination of those two seems to work better than, like, Yeah. I haven't seen all three.
Yeah, you'll be surprised. Like, you'll go and, like, you'll pick up a book from Marvel, DC, Image, IDW, any of these. And you'll look in and be like, and you'll look inside and you're like, wow, like, this is kind of bad. Like, this is pretty
shit. I guarantee you that person's always on time.
Yeah.
It's easy to work with.
And that's the guy who gets all their jobs and he keeps working. And, you know, even in our circles, they'll be like, oh, I can't believe this guy keeps working work. I'm like, that guy's on time. The guy does his stuff. What are you going to do, you know? But the super talented, amazing artist guy, that guy gets drunk. He gets hungover.
It's
like
one
month
out of the year. Yeah. Like, all right. You'll build a reputation, you know.
Real quick.
So, yeah, be careful about that, too. Once you start going to these things and you're around people all the time that you want to work with, I always say don't poop where you eat. Try to not destroy my workplace. You know, like, I'm here and I'm working. I'm going to try to be as professional as I can be, even after hours or whatever. You know, if it's something that you'd be ashamed of people finding out, don't do it. You know, be polite, be professional.
Yeah.
You know, try not to cross any sort of like boundaries, because that person you're talking to now could be your editor 2 years from now. That person could be your boss, you know, later. Or it could be the person you have to work with next. So, I mean, if you have these things and you're trying to build your network, just try to always remember, like, be the best version of yourself that you can be from your time.
Yeah. Just speaking of timeliness, it's about time for the next panel.
Oh, okay, good.
Thank you, guys.
I didn't even know what was going on. Oh, yeah, we talked for a while. Thank you guys so much. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. Some pretty good points, and it was good because you're talking to, in that situation, it's both a publisher and an artist and writer that's working out there. Like, he's hardworking. Larry's a good guy, man. Larry is like one of those guys I think is gonna blow up one day. I mean, people really, really just start looking his way, man. He's a hard worker, talented guy, and really cool dude. Really cool dude. Guy's just chill, man. He's never a stress, you know. I can't speak good enough about Larry Watts. Look him up online. I'll probably put in some links on the on air later.
And as for the comic shop, go to the goblinsheist.com. You can find everything we have going on there. And our address and everything. I'll be probably posting pictures and everything. I'll probably have it on the Instagram at goblinsheist, at the goblinsheist on Instagram. And also, as always, you can find me at Fuagata, F-W-A-C-A-T-A. You can go to fuagata.com and see everything that I'm doing, links to everything that I'm doing, and my Twitter and all that good stuff. I'll see you guys next week. I will probably do, again, some podcasting from the shop from Saturday and a couple more, and I'll probably have Xavier back in front of the mic again next week, and we'll talk a little bit more. See you next week.